There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm on the edge! I'm on the edge, Liv! Liv! I'm edging, Liv! 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 I have... Get your American face here, Libby! Get it here, Liv!
Are you raising the roof?
Wow.
Yes!
Someone hasn't been to a club in a while.
And I'm gonna come on your face!
I did not expect to hear the term edging on Night at Beyonce on the tell-all. And neither did John Robinson.
Yes.
The fact that the word edging was in Jenny's mouth.
Oh.
Oh.
Sean Robinson, she immediately called her pastor after doing this show. Immediately.
Y'all, I'm going to take a little part of the blame here because I think part of us, I think we've sullied, I think it's maybe listening to us because we have definitely talked about edging.
I blame you. I blame you.
Okay, I'll take that because I've mentioned actually, Captain Sandy edging to Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, you did. I was going to say, I don't think we've talked about edging, but yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Yeah. Y'all, this is it's Reality Gaze, part three. It feels like part 20 of the tell-all. We're almost done, though. One more.
One more.
If you're looking at if you're on the intimate portrait, I'm standing up because my butt's tired.
I guess that's right. And I write you. It's a problem if your butt is numb too, because well, you need to have feeling there. Lots and lots of feelings. So then it can be numb later.
I know. Y'all, it's part three. This is, I can't imagine.
We've got to say something for the intimate portrait people, though, before. Y'all, we're remote, but goat. Mainly because I went to dinner with someone yesterday that told me they have COVID today. So we're trying to be careful. I got retrograded.
My mother will never forgive you if you give me COVID. And I was to die.
She'd never.
Matt, you killed Jake Bird.
Matt, I thought you were
never
his friend.
You.
Yes, a friend doesn't kill another friend. Thought you knew that.
You will kill Jake Bird.
Before we started the show, actually, before we started just to do a little thing with our friend Mary Payne at Pink Shade, which we're going to talk about in a minute, there started to be hammering on my roof, and I realized there was a leak in my neighbor's apartment, but they had to do ceiling work in my apartment as well, and they're re-tarring it right now. So thankfully, I'm watching cats for my downstairs neighbor. So
Grandma's house apartment.
Because you don't see her, but she's very Venice Beach. She's my friend I get high with and do tarot. So she also has a very loud cat named Spencer, who I love. So if you hear a cat meowing, that's Spencer, and he just wants to be on the pod. And we're going to roll with it
because
this is
circus.
Where we are.
My butt hurts. You've got a cat.
Your butt hurts and my pussy's upset.
Your pussy's on fire. Your pussy's on fire, literally.
Yeah, exactly.
Y'all, big, big news. Big news. Huge. We are partnering with Mary Payne from Pink Shade.
Yeah.
And the first of its kind of thing from Moment. We are doing a worldwide
digital
moment.
World. It's digital worldwide moment. A DWM. DWM.
Digital worldwide moment. Basically, y'all, we're doing a live recap show. And it's going to be, you can watch, it's a digital thing, not in person, obviously.
It's through Moment. It's its own service. We're doing it through that. This is a new thing we're trying. We've never done anything like this before.
Yeah.
It's something that, because it is an event, it's something you will buy an individual ticket for anyone. We're going to have more information about that, probably on the second part two of this show, but it's going to be a live recap event with us. So Bunkies and Sissies United.
Yes. And, we'll have ticket information very soon for you.
Very soon.
And also more information you can find on our Instagram.
Yep. We're going to have,
as well as follow Pink Shade on Instagram, y'all.
Yes, please. They're working hard.
Yep. There'll be special guests jumping in with us. And we're very excited. We've never done anything like this, which is what I say to all the straight men who I sleep with.
Never done this before.
And I think I've never done this before.
We made a video with Mary Payne to promote it, and we kept saying we wanted to have a threesome. And y'all know Mary Payne. She just wanted us to stop saying the word threesome, and we just kept saying it more. Y'all, that event is going to be on Monday, February 6th. So if you kind of think of it this way, it's going to be it's going to be in February. Where, you know, 90 Day is going to take off the next week.
They will take
Super
off
Bowl.
And the live event will be available, I think, on demand for a week. So when your husband's watching the Super Bowl and you don't have any 90 Day, just watch our live special.
Exactly. There you. Yay. But it's only up there for a week, y'all.
And so it goes away forever.
Forever.
Which means I can say some crazy ass shit.
I'm worried about
that. It's going away.
I am worried about
that. Oh, I'm going to say some crazy shit.
I'm very worried about that.
Ooh. God, I can't wait.
Anyway, y'all. So more info.
I bring out all my David Koresh jokes.
Great. So that's not out yet, but eventually the link will be in our link tree. So be sure to check that out. We'll let you know. Wow.
Ooh, I need to bring out all my material.
Let's talk about the Bicurious that we just dropped, shall we?
Oh, y'all, we dropped Bicurious
back
on Saturday.
Back in the groove.
Hosted by Taye Diggs and featuring three women in their 40s looking for love.
Young dick. young dick. So am I.
I think both of us had...
I am a woman in my 40s looking for young dick. Wow, I really could have been on that show.
I'm not looking for any type of dick, young, old. I'm just happy to get it.
I am just like Steph. I need a refresh.
That's not what she said.
She said what'd she say? A redo? A big dick?
A reset.
Whatever.
Sparkle is the one who wants the reset.
Oh, yeah.
And
Sparkle.
I think that I do believe that's her name.
I believe that's her name. And then there's another woman named Leslie? What's her
Brooke.
Name? Brooke.
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 They're three women and they're I didn't love it. But it was fun. There's a big twist at the end of the first episode, that we had a good time talking about it.
We had a good time
and
talking about it.
And the bargain bin of reality show men rejects they found to be in this show. Wow.
Yes. But yes.
Wow.
Also, we're not gonna answer it here. But a lot of you are wondering, is there really a Groove Hotel? We answered that question on the Bicurious episode. That's only available on Reality Gaze Plus at the $5 tier of your Patreon or Supercast.
Can you give me the address of the Groove Hotel? What time's checkout?
Time's checkout. Anyway, what else do we have going on, Poods?
Oh, y'all, Classless, our final Classless of Happily Ever After Season 3, we just released this past week. What a doozy. It was kind of the Nicole and Azin wedding fiasco.
Otherwise known as, y'all, we have been introduced to the makeup store.
The beauty shop / health thing.
Things. We have been introduced. We did not know about this.
No.
If you watch the watch along on the $15 tier, our faces say it.
My face, when the makeup store was brought up, immediately, it was like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Everything became clear in that one moment, and I felt like 2 hours had just been stolen from me.
Yeah, it's just like Haley Joel Osment just showed up and said, I'm dead, bitch.
It's Bruce Willis who was dead.
Oh,
did you even watch that movie?
It's been a long
time.
Bruce
Willis. Spoiler alert. Bruce Willis was the dead one. That was a good reveal, though.
That was a good reveal. We all remember where we... I don't remember where I was.
And then he never really got the same... the same gooped. Although the Village had a... It was really long and a kind of a terrible film, but it did have a good goop moment.
Poor Bruce Willis, he can't even act anymore, bless his heart. It's really sad.
Way to bring it down. Is that true?
Yes, he has a weird type of, not a weird, I shouldn't say weird, a very rare, what is it? It's,
why do you do this?
He, he has aphasia.
That's what I thought it was, yeah.
So it's a language, so literally he's an actor who cannot speak, read, or write, or listen. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Okay.
It's horrible.
So we're going to have to leave that there. You've got to stop doing that. You've got to stop the show.
You know where I get that? I get that from my mother. I just went to
It's awful.
Mom's doing great, by the way. She had DBS, a dialectical brain surgery or scan, where they put little probes to help her essential tremor. She's doing great. Thanks. Shout out to the doctors at UT Southwestern. I think the doctor hit on me. I almost took him up on it. But I didn't
know. How is that possible?
Well, when he was giving me the information of how my mother was, he seemed very happy to talk to me. Very. I wanted to investigate his bedside manner, but I didn't. But I will say, Mom's doing great, but I did learn things like from my mom. I think I do get my bluntness sometimes from my mother, because we were sitting there, I was like, before the thing, you know, my mom, y'all tell me if your parents never have had really any major surgery yet, have they?
No.
So when they do, because they're getting older, they'll have to have something, their shoulder or something. And this was minor.
My mom's had to have knee surgery. But
well, I guess this was minor. It was a minor surgery, but it was still brain surgery. So my mom was a little, grantedly, who wouldn't be freaked out? So she goes through before the thing.
Grantedly,
like,
yes.
Yeah, grantedly, sorry. I'm just trying to talk before the cat screams at me. I'm so scared right now. She basically, she said, you know, the papers for the will are over there. Everything's there, you know, going through all of that. And she said, and look, I just want you to be buried by me. And I said, well, Mom, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. She's like, no, don't get cremated. You don't want to be me to be buried alone, do you? Rodney wants to be cremated. So just go ahead and get buried by me. There's an extra plot for you. I bought two.
I don't think I could say where I would be buried. And I don't think it's.
What do I say?
You know what? She'll be dead. She'll never know.
Yeah,
you might as well say whatever you want to.
What do you say in a moment like this?
Yeah,
when
I'm
your
just
mama
saying,
says be buried, because I'm, what do you
maybe
say?
Maybe when I bring up any celebrity who's had a problem, maybe the first thing isn't about a horrible thing that's happened to them.
I just, my heart goes out to him when people say it. I just want to send him love.
I don't know how we move on.
Okay.
Well, what I'm saying is these are comedy killers, and I don't know.
I will say, so let's, speaking of comedy killers, or actually a comedy bringer.
Do you have a Holocaust story to share? Because why not?
You know, but Casey just texted me, and she's having a Holocaust survivor on her show next week.
Great. That's awesome.
Good for her.
That is actually awesome.
That is amazing.
There aren't a lot of them around. Yeah.
Y'all, if you're not listening to Kate Casey, you should. She is killing it. I even just had a sissy saying, I appreciate Kate Casey.
She's been doing so much work on the Idaho murders. She's been doing
a lot of stuff on the Idaho murders. So, but I was going to say, y'all, next week, if you aren't on Reality Gays Plus and you thought, I kind of want to watch or listen to old 90 Day Fiancé, now is your time, because this week is when we begin with
Season 6
of 90 Day Fiancé.
Classless.
Colty, Larissa, Lita, and whoever
Eric
she's
and Lita.
With.
Steven and Olga, Asuelu and Kalani.
Asuelu and
Kalani. Jonathan and Fernanda.
Jonathan. Ugh. So, y'all, we know a little bit, but not much about those. But as y'all have said, we're in the sprint of wonderful 90 Day Fiancé right now. So that first episode will be on the free feed, and then the subsequent episodes will be at the $5 tier. And if you want to watch us in our own
watch the shows for the first time,
watch
Pillow Biter Talk.
Pillow Biter Talk. You can subscribe to the $15 tier and you can get that video. So there you go. I think that's it, right? Anything else?
I think that's all the announcements, surprisingly.
I think that's it. All right, let's do this.
So we're now over halfway. We're now three-fourths of the way done with this tell-all. And I realize is this the first tell-all that we have had over a two-day period?
I think
it's almost like a music festival at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you think about this new concept? Because in a way I understand why they're doing it, but is it gonna pay off? I think it's only gonna pay off for people we know well, because I don't think we're gonna care about like people we don't know that well who haven't had multiple seasons to do this long of a tell-all. I just don't think it pays off.
I think we're going to see more of this. I have a feeling we're going to see more of this going forward. Whether it pays off or not, it pays off and it gives them more episodes. But it's something that it is. You bring up a great point in that this is very unique to Happily Ever After, because a lot of these people know one another and have been on. They've been on
Angela's
the show.
Angela's been for a while, on the show for
five years
now.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they also have spent time with one another. And that's why Jovi and Andre felt weird, because you can tell they don't really know each other. However, I will say the Angela and Andre scenes work, because you can tell they've hung out and talked a lot.
And even the Ed and Angela scenes, they have a little bit of capital to, and let's move in with that, where we think she goes, where the last thing we saw in part two was Angela saying, "Excuse me." And you expect her to launch into him. That does not happen. She says, "I'm very disappointed in you, Ed. What are you doing? Do you know that makes her feel?" And amazingly, Angela is given this sort of empathy that she has. Maybe she borrowed it from someone. So she says, "You're a good guy." And I wrote, "Fuck me." No, he's not. And
the last thing from it,
Ed starts spiraling, saying, "I want to spend the rest of my life with her, but I don't know how to. I don't know how to. I don't know how to be in a relationship."
Just slap him, Angela.
And Angela goes, "Then leave her the fuck alone." Like, it's weird. She almost hypnotizes him.
She does. By... kind of like, yeah. I guess. I mean, we all thought she was going to start screaming at him.
We did.
And that's not what happened at all. I don't know if you call it empathy that she borrowed. I don't know if, you know, Angela likes to be a know-it-all. So she likes, and She's.
But I'm saying
she is emotionally insightful to other people, but not herself.
But not herself. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it y'all just get ready. I don't love it, but basically Ed was so much of this tell-all, and that's the only problem with these types of tell-alls is Ed was so much of this tell-all, and it was other people interacting with Ed and other people interacting with Liz, but then also talking about their own shit. So unfortunately for us to be able to talk about this, these fuckers have made it to where we have to talk about, as Andre says, little Ed.
Little Ed, or small Ed.
Small Ed, yes, small Ed.
And then I wrote down, boy, when Angela, Jovi, and Bilal are teaching you how to be a human being.
You're in a sad, like, just walk off the pier. Just walk off the pier.
Wow. Well, what we see is something both you and I, and most of our listeners, I think, have known, is that he, textbook narcissist. If you really could find that, and they cannot be shown to be either incorrect or they cannot lose, and they will drag anyone down with them to who's going to make them lose.
The only good thing about that's 100% correct. And the only thing good about seeing this Ed and Liz, as you said, this last tell on, it happens even more this time. Ed's mask drops from this tell-all, and we see the real narcissist Ed. So I only hope that if you're watching this and you see some, you see bits of someone you're in a relationship with, you go, oh, fuck, I need to call my best friend Sheila and leave this motherfucker, because this is someone who's not ever going to be.
You can't fix these people. You can't fix Ed.
You can't fix Ed. And even when Liz says, I tell him my emotions. Literally, she said, I tell him what's wrong and what bothers me. And he completely makes it about himself and takes it personally. I went, that's narcissism. Like, that's what.
And the textbook signs of being in a relationship with a narcissist is you say things like, which Liz says earlier, no one sees the other side of him.
Yep.
No one. And the thing is, he has specifically targeted you in that way and only shows you, and it's still a facade. It's still one of his alters that you're seeing.
Yes.
The real Ed is what you're seeing right now on this tell-all.
Right now. Right.
That's the real Ed.
That's the real Ed. It's this idea of, y'all just think, if you were saying no one sees the other side of them,
ooh, boy,
turn the mirror on yourself and say, no one sees the other side of them.
Mm-hmm.
No one.
Yeah.
That's a red.
I'm the only one. And it's just,
you're
like,
not,
I guarantee,
because they're not
every
special.
Single one of Liz's friends, which that's probably one of the issues, is she probably doesn't have a lot of friends, but everyone in her life is like, why are you with him? Why are you with this person? And
which she's having a conversation with Jenny, Liz, and Kimberly. And in that, where Liz said this line, which, again, this is a good sign of being with somebody with a narcissist or a sociopath, but for him, a narcissist, when Liz says, I always have to explain my emotions to him. Y'all, that's a red flag. The person you should be with, I'm not saying they should read your mind, but you shouldn't have to always explain your emotions. Intentions, a whole different thing. But emotions, and like, of course, and who jumps on that is Kim goes, I know. Everybody knows Soulja Boy. They know Soulja Boy, but I know Uthman.
I know the yummy yummy.
I'm the only one that sees the yummy yummy. Remember, we went and got that ring because I won. I broke up with him, but I won.
She really is the ultimate person who makes everyone's got a story, and she has something to relate.
She, you know what? She could sit down to dinner with Sam Walton and relate to that man. He's dead.
That's the first Sam Walton reference of the podcast. But she does say, but if anything else comes out on the tell-all, because tomorrow's my day, if anything else comes out, I'm going to wreck that fucking set. Then there's a little bit of a scene with Yara and Shida where And she basically says, tells Yara, I'm going to confront Bilal when it comes to trust. And Yara says, well, you need to stick to your own guns and demand your own independence. And they're both worried about Big Ed coming for both of them. It's so interesting because in the beginning of the tell-all, they were all worried about Angela. Yara was the only one who kind of got it.
Shida said, you stood up to her. She was like,
yeah.
She said, I'm going to go into this with Yara energy. And I went, we all need to have Yara energy.
We all need Yara energy.
I kind of want a t-shirt that says Yara energy.
Yara energy. But what's interesting now is everyone's worried about, because they've seen Ed try to pile on because he gets nervous. And how many times, drink every time you heard, I was drowning, you stepped on my neck.
Bleh.
And I went, what? No. Sorry, that's shitty, but... Sorry.
Normally I would edit that out, but I don't
care.
We're
keeping it in.
He's terrible.
But he kept saying it, and I was like, this is too easy.
It's a cheap joke, and you're cheap, so...
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
Never said I wasn't. And I still say the least offensive thing about Ed is his appearance. The least offensive thing.
For sure.
So,
for sure. But for sure.
Anyway.
Yara even says, you can call yourself Big Egg, but he's short as fuck.
And it's interesting. This is part three. And even in part two, everyone had their fill.
Yeah.
And it just tells you. Because I know we see Ed has supposedly friends in his life. I guarantee you the friends that Ed has are the only ones who he does stuff for or pays for. And Ed is a very lonely person. He's a miserable person. And in a way, does he deserve our anger and just like disgust? Yeah. You almost want to pity him though. He's a very sad, miserable person. And just looking back, he's one of the worst we've ever had. There's horrible people, but Ed, there's something about him that just gets under my skin like almost no one. Yeah. It's there just no redeeming, nothing redeeming. Because everything's fake.
I don't know. You really hated Memphis.
You know what? Those seem like nice days now, because we haven't covered Ed in so long. Because
we don't cover him.
Yeah, and the Bilal hate is different than I have, because that is just, it's like he becomes Darth Vader, and that's the thing. If you put Bilal next to Ed, you're like, well, Bilal's not so bad.
Not terrible.
Like, you know, and Bilal got a very good edit this.
He had a very good
episode.
They definitely want more Bilal and Shida. And y'all, we will see them on next season of Happily Ever After.
I'll see you in hell.
Mark my words, they will be there. Positive.
I'll see you in hell, TLC. Just keep it going. You're going to make me watch Brother Husbands. Why not? Extreme Sisters. You're going to make me watch Pang Pang again. Fine.
Oh, y'all, Bob, I'm so glad you said it. Y'all, that's coming out.
The trailer is out.
So we have, with the trailer, we actually got a privy to the first episode. Oh, it's so good.
I needed to take Milk of Magnesia.
The triplets.
Oh. Y'all, triplets have a language they speak.
They have their own language. And there's also two twins from Dallas, Texas, who like...
Oh, the ones when they licked one's teeth? One licked the other's
come
teeth?
Come on, Sherry, lick my teeth. Lick my teeth. Come on. Oh, man, y'all. Here's the deal, y'all. The Pang Pang twins are the normal ones this season.
I'm living for the Australian twins because they seem to be, that's like going home for me now. I know crazy.
Yeah, we know it.
Y'all, get ready for a season of this show. It's going to be one of those when your husband walks into the room and he's like, I'm disgusted with you that you watch this. Get ready. He said, it disgusts me. Like, this is one of those shows. You're a sick fuck if you like this show. I will say this. I would not watch this show if you were not making me. I could watch all the other iterations of this show. I would not watch this show. It's too gross for me. It makes me feel bad. It makes me feel sick.
Honey, you won't let me watch MMA because you say it's too violent, but really this?
No, this show's sick. Extreme Sisters is sick.
Oh, I love it. No, okay, it's sick. So coming out.
Where were we?
Sorry, coming out. So there were, now we have a little bit of Jovi and Audrey. Jovi and Audrey.
Suddenly Seymour. Suddenly Seaman after
suddenly
him.
Suddenly Seymour. He's in beside me. He don't need no makeup. He don't condescend.
I'm very clear. I'm not like American.
They're having this conversation.
This is such crap. They're fine. They're fine.
Yeah, they're all fine. Jovi brings up again, do you think you're the one that causing the problem? And Andre's like, I heard him talking shit.
I think this is where finally we're did you like it when Shida or like Yara maybe? Or who was it? Was it maybe Kim? I didn't write this down that well. Tells Jenny that she needs to speak up. Jenny's going to take that advice, it looks like, on part four. Because Jenny is going full Maury chicken.
What is all that? I'm excited for it. Yes. To tell Jenny that she needs to speak up because it's Jenny. It's the next day. Again, Treasure Island time cold. 7:45 a.m. By the way, y'all, I want to apologize on behalf of us. We talked about Treasure Island. Several of you have wanted to post about it in the Facebook group. One person first did, and we almost got shut down in the group.
Well, so, it's not shut down, but it does tweak.
It tweaks Zuckerberg, and he flags
it. It tweaks
us.
The Facebook algorithm.
and then we get little, you're admin. But, so I'm sorry. We should have not brought it up, but we did. And we're probably not going to.
Drag me down with you. Fine.
And so anyway, we're not going to be able to approve those Facebook posts.
No, y'all.
I love that one gay sissy put on the Facebook group in all caps, Treasure Island Media, with like 20 exclamation points.
Yeah, she knew. She knew.
She knew.
The gays came out of the woodwork for this. I didn't even think that many listened. Like, oh my God, I died when you talked about Treasure Island. Oh my God.
Anyway, so. But yes, so
I guess that's what all we have to do.
All we have to do. So, yes, that's when they had their conversation. So Shida does say, you know, Liz kind of hits Ed with low blows as well. So there's a little bit of
garbage
because she heard that from Bilal. Because of course, exactly. Bilal is coming home. So just shut up. Because again,
they're bros.
Y'all don't forget, Bilal is trash. They're bros. So, anyway. Okay, boy, the cat just took a big old shit in that thing. Just smell it in the whole thing.
Gross!
I'm going to have to clean that out now. Spencer! Today is a Mercury retrograde, y'all. This neighbor's got a lot of pot. I just might smoke out and just fuck this shit.
We also, Kim is consistently telling anyone who will listen, remember, I broke up with him.
Yeah.
I broke
up
with him.
I'm not crazy. I didn't do it. And Yara goes, Jovi, what could be more crazy than what happened with Angela yesterday?
Just wait. Now, did you like it that when Kim and Ed were talking and it's like, well, I apologize to Liz. And Kim's like, that apology was fake as fuck because blah, blah, blah. And then at one point, This is my favorite line to tell.
Because when Ed said, "Are we?"
You're like your shit doesn't stink. She's like, "Oh, my shit stinks. I fully admit my shit stinks.
My shit really stinks. Just like Spencer the cat, he just took a giant shit while Maddie was doing a podcast. It fucking stinks. And also,
my shit stinks worse than any of your shit. Anyway,
it's like a big doo doo.
It's like when Ed said, we're like one big happy. We're like one wrong. Big happy family.
Are we? I don't think you respect me. You don't respect me.
All about respect.
I'm not going to respect you.
I do think give them the opportunity, like Interview Magazine, where one interviews the other. I would love that.
Oh,
I don't think she would do it because actually she would. Let's be honest. She'd do anything for fame. But
and Kim later said that she's like, look, I apologize. So this is a different. You can tell again, Ed putting down the face mask. Kimberly says in a very sincere way, she's like, I apologize if you think I'm being mean. I do not mean to be mean. And Ed, instead of taking her apology, he starts to raise his voice and said, yeah, you are. You are being mean. Yeah. You're being so mean. What a y'all. When he did that I went, whoa, you're even more evil than I thought you were. Because that's exactly anytime Liz, because that's rule 101 of when you have an argument with someone you love, you compromise a little. You say, you know what?
He
I
can't
said
do that
in the wrong way. I shouldn't have said that. And this is, I just want to make this clear. With a narcissist, any inch you give them, they will take.
They hold tighter.
They hold tighter. It's a slight against them, and they will punish you forever for it. Forever.
Yeah, it's really awful. And you can just see the way he hates women this episode. He calls Shida a gold digger. Yeah. He calls Yara a gold digger.
Yeah.
And always.
He always stands up with the men. Always.
And
with
stands
the men.
Up with the men. Yeah. Like when Bilal's friend Chris comes in, which we're going to talk about on part two.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Men's rights advocate, Christopher.
Fuck that guy.
What a piece of shit.
But that makes Bilal's sense why friend. Bilal's such a piece of shit. Because shit is with shit. It's like cat shit that clumps together in the litter box that I'm going to have to clean up.
Okay, we can't talk about cat shit more.
It smells like a hot box in here right now. But I'm going to keep going.
I will say there's not much worse than cat shit instead of cat pee. But cat pee is almost worse, I feel like. I think we're about to get to where the tell-all starts, but I think we should take a break before that. So we will come back and actually start the tell-all.
Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No, see, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies, great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in Me Undies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, We've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
I don't know if I said this before, but I broke up with him. I just want to make it clear. I looked at Soulja Boy. I looked him right in the face. And then I looked at his yammy. And I said, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
This hurts me.
It hurts me.
Worse than it hurts you.
And I won. And I still won.
Yes, it's all about winning for her.
But I'm breaking up with you.
She has to walk away.
I won because I got that yammy.
She has to walk away the winner here.
I'm walking away.
I knew that was coming. It's very important for her to have in a weird because I think it would destroy her self. It would destroy her sense of self if she was the loser here.
I think that's true. I think that's true for a lot of people that are getting out of it. You feel like a failure. You feel shame. But for her, because it's for her, it's so much. It is a lot of her self worth is tied up in that. In not looking. Yeah.
So they are starting. Sean starts off with, "Well, what happened last night at that party we sent cameras to see how y'all would misbehave?" The producers tell me something happened.
What happened? Ed and Liz talk about themselves. We don't need to go all into that. I did enjoy, though, again, the martyr. Ed says, yesterday was the worst day of my life. And Liz says, no, it wasn't. You've had a lot of worse days. And I remember watching him. He used to say that all the time. This is the worst day of my life.
Oh, yeah. No. It's when that's the thing. When he called her a performer.
That's him.
That's what he does.
100% projection. And narcissists, that's what a narcissist does, y'all. They project.
It's the things he calls her out for are laughable because he's like sitting there doing all of them.
Projection, future faking, Google it, y'all. It's all narcissism. Okay.
No, the thing about Liz is Ed has to find people. What he's been looking overseas, because obviously they're already people who are overseas for him already usually have a financial disadvantage, so he can control them easier. So he's gonna
easily.
So if there's someone US,
I thought of you because I was just reading an article, and apparently some girl found like a tooth of a megalodon somewhere, and it was in NPR.
Megalodon
tooth. And I read the article, and I just screamed out, "Megalodon!
Megalodon!" I brought it up to my oldest nephew too. I'm like, "Remember when we used to be into dinosaurs?" He's like, "That was like so 4 years ago." I was like, "Okay, glad you're getting bitchy."
Well, I learned it from 12, watching you, Uncle.
He's 12 now. He's such a bitch.
That's what they do.
I didn't call him that, but I remember I'm like, when did he become such a bitch? And my brother's like, it's bad. what I was talking about is this idea of Liz is a different kind of person for Ed to date because she has moments of clarity, and she's a risky choice for him, which because she has moments of standing up for herself, but she has a crushing lack of self-confidence. That is the way and y'all, if you heard that horrible phone call, one of the reasons we stopped, that was done in real life, that was leaked, not for the show. One of the reasons we stopped covering him is anyone who could talk that way to someone they said they loved or were in a relationship to, we're not going to cover anymore. It's horrible, 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 horrible.
It was horrible. And it's different. And then what's different is
I can hear that, whatever that is. Just yelling on your street. It's the new purge, y'all. The purge is happening.
I don't know what they're yelling.
I can't hear it after now. No. Okay. Just keep talking.
Anyway.
Keep talking. It'll be fine, I'm sure.
The difference of people because look, y'all, these are people, a lot of these people are reality stars. A lot of them aren't going to be great people. We've talked a lot about, you know, Bilal, and a lot of people, you know, don't watch Angela's segments because her behavior towards Michael is abusive.
Yeah.
What is the difference to me is, I mean, we saw it like, yes, Angela's abusive towards Michael, and Michael's fucking conning her.
Yeah.
Clear stop. He's fucking conning her. He's been cheating. So like, they're both not great people at this point. Whereas Liz, we were hard on there. It was hard to watch her in a season, but I would probably, and I do think I used to think that Liz got into this for the fame of it, to be honest. And actually watching the way Ed talked to her and her kind of trying to stand up for herself and then coming back to him actually made me have more sympathy for her and see her as someone who's just so fucking broken, and Ed found the perfect mark in a relationship.
I think she does want the fame, but he feels something of daddy issues for her. And we've said this before, you don't choose what challenges you, you choose what's familiar to you.
Yeah.
So that's, guarantee you, he's a carbon copy of some man in her life. You know,
it's true. Unless it's a dick, I always want to go bigger. I'm always going to try a size up, y'all. Never know.
You never know.
You gotta
have something for growing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, it's Kimberly and Usman's time in the hot seat. But she says, "Do we talk every day? Yes, but we're broken up.
Do I still love him? I do. I do love him. We talk. We text. He's my best friend."
And Usman says, you know, he's talking about, it's really weird. Don't you feel like we missed like 5 episodes of them that we just never saw?
We never saw the becoming friends again part. We just saw her leave and kind of half-heartedly break up with him.
I get it, stuff happens, but it's a bit of failure of storytelling on their part that we've had such a big jump in their relationship since
I agree.
It ended.
Yeah. And Usman says again, "I can't get a child from her." So it ran its course. And
that's
like,
why I ended this. That's why I ended this. I ended this because I want him to have the happiness I have with Jamal.
She must have said it 20 times.
Must
that
have.
Because I am breaking up with you.
Then Jamal shows up, and God,
he looks good. I think he wore the same shirt on another tell-all.
I don't know. I don't care. His ass, man. By the way, somebody said, why are they wearing the same outfit both days? Y'all, they do that for continuity. So they can edit a teaser
trailer. And they change into it right before. They change into it right before. So it's not like they were wearing these clothes all night long.
Because also, too, y'all, they'll start, the way that I bet they do these tell-alls, they'll say, "We're going to talk about Jenny and Submit." But Jenny or Submit said something the day before, four hours before, that would make a good line. And y'all, that's when you're talking about reality stars go, "That's not what I said in the edit." They fucking they put words in their mouth and intentions in their mouth that aren't even there.
And that's why we love reality TV.
And that's why Jake and I will never be on it.
Nope.
Except for Big Brother. You'll do that.
Neither of us are good enough reality TV. I could probably do Big Brother.
Oh, speak for yourself. I'm good enough reality TV. I just would get a bad edit. I don't want to do it. Unless I was like an executive producer. No thanks.
It would be easy. I say enough shit about people to get a villain edit. Yeah.
Oh, you would 100% get a villain edit for sure.
Yeah.
I'd do real good until we get footage of me trying to put my hand down a straight guy's pants. And then
that would be a problem.
Kick off
the
show.
Then you get me too. Jamal basically comes in and says, "This basically happened like I thought it would." I said that he'd hurt her and I'd be there to pick up the pieces. And at one point, I'm like, when do you stop this, Jamal? When do you not become your mother's caretaker?
Well, you don't. When you give your mother a hug and say, "Remember, it's just you and me." And I went, Wow.
I know.
Like, I
boundaries,
just
y'all. Boundaries.
I just feel for him because this guy's been taking care of his mom for a long time. But
yeah,
what was great about Jamal coming on here is Kimberly's like, it's good. We're all good. We're best friends now. And Jamal comes in and is like, well, I said he was going to hurt her and I have to pick up the pieces. And guess what? I was right. And he's a fucking con and con. He basically lays it all out in front of everyone. And Kimberly's just going, go.
Because she doesn't want people to say bad things about Usman at the same time.
No, she doesn't at all.
When you're talking about Jamal, I get it. But like, he was giving major player vibes on the Single Life Tell All at the same time.
You wouldn't hit it?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just not saying let's temper our poor Jamal talk.
I do say poor Jamal in that I hope he is a player and has fun because honestly, I don't think he got really to be a kid. I feel like this guy probably was taking care of his mom for a long time. Think about it. Kimberly had a Lalu relationship. Usman is not her worst relationship. In fact, Usman's probably her best.
One of the better ones. No, I totally agree with you. I don't want to lionize this person.
Yeah, I think there's things that come out that I feel like that I relate to, and people I know it's a lot of sissies that end up being parentified child relate to his situation.
Yeah.
That's all I meant by that. But he was great in this tell-all because he just laid it all fucking. And basically, he even says at one point, he said, you know what, with Usman, he said, her intentions were selfish from the beginning, calling her a potential and all that shit. He said,
his intentions.
Yeah, his intentions. He said, calling her a potential, all that bullshit. He said, basically, you worked her over and you broke her down. And the only reason you're doing this is because Usman wants to be relevant and low-key played the fuck out of my mom.
He read him. The whole cast is like, Andre's like, yes, he's a scammer.
And they all jump in. And Kim's like, I don't know. No, remember? I broke up with him. I don't feel like he played me. He did not play me. I broke up with him.
And then Kim just sounds foolish after hearing everybody on the stage. And everyone's like, and Jenny's like, well, I guess no one really understands your relationship like you do. Trying to be somewhat nice.
I mean, Ed said he's an opportunist, I wanted to say, sit down, small Ed.
Dumbass.
But he is an opportunist. But yes. Now, this is what was. Now, Sean Robinson had a great one because basically, because Shida, like they all, like you said, Shida says you're in denial. Usman's like, but we had sex. We love each other.
Right.
And everyone literally just laughs.
No, he's like, I can't have sex. I can't have sex with someone I don't love.
And they all go,
and I went, y'all, I've loved every man I've ever slept with.
Every man.
I've loved every single one of them.
Every one of them.
in their own special way. I don't know. And maybe a few.
Maybe like two.
Yeah.
Jamal holds him to the fire and says, well, now you're just grasping at straws. And then here's the deal, though. But Sean Robinson had a great question. She said, wait a minute, Usman. So what about the second wife? You told her you wouldn't be in love with the second wife, that you would just be in love with her. But so if you have to be in love to have sex, then what is Kimberly getting that the second wife? And Usman kind of goes,
oh, he was stymied.
That was a great fucking question.
And then he lost it and said, I don't fucking care about any of this. I don't blah, blah, blah. And then when Kim saw the clip of the number of him getting the girl's number, she's like, wait, I didn't know about any of this.
Whoa. I did not expect that.
She starts to cry and Usman is yelling and basically
he's like, my mom made me go see her. My mom made me.
And Kimberly says, I had to feel like from the beginning of our relationship, I had to fight, yo. I had to fight, yo. So, and I felt dismissed, and I'm not going to feel that way anymore.
I will always be a super fan.
but we're not together anymore. There's no hope of there's no hope of getting back together.
I do think Kimberly, I think we've all been in a situation like a lot of people can relate, being undervaluing yourself in a relationship. I think Kimberly was. If you look back, I hope that when Kimberly watched a lot of that, she went, wow, what? Wow, I was with someone who called me a potential. Whoa. Like, what fucking breadcrumbs am I grabbing at?
And this is why
we're going to see her on The Single Life, ready to find love.
I hope that for her. I think you're giving more credit of her own self-awareness than
I think so
has.
Too. I hope she finds that. But regardless, y'all, she's going to be on The Single Life.
I'm going to find the man of my dreams. They could be on the street corner right now.
If they don't put her on The Single Life, honestly, I'm going to be pissed.
She'd be great on The Single
Life. Oh, she would be great. She would be so good.
I would
good.
Give anything to see her have awkward dates with yes. other awkward men.
Yes.
Or maybe yes. a woman. Can you see that?
Actually, yeah, I can.
Yeah, I could. I can too. Y'all, they take a break. Jamal leaves. Liz and Ed are still fighting about something. He says again, "I was drowning. You were stepping on my head." And y'all, but she brings out she's basically leveling accusations. You were on that dating app, and it's interesting, Liz. I think she's besides the fact that she's got no more energy left to fight. She's like, she just basically says, "You were on the dating app. It was here," and he's just fighting her for everything he has. And Ed's saying, and Jenny basically says, that's weird. And Jenny's like, what do you mean? You're look at you. You're in India. Your relationship's weird too. And
yeah, Jenny tries to say, and Ed snaps at her. And she's like, and even Joey.
Maybe, he's
in.
Like, maybe I'll go to India. And she's like, they wouldn't give you a visa.
And she walks out and feathers just fly. But Joey, I got to say, for Joey, it's this Southern thing in him. He was raised, you do not talk to women like that.
Yeah.
And because y'all, Mama Jovi would go ballistic on his ass if he ever did that. And Jovi brings up again to Ed, and it almost kind of in an assertive way, like he just says, don't talk to her like that. Do not talk to her like that. Be polite. She said nothing wrong. And Ed goes, he reminds me of that. What's that? Is it Humpty Dumpty, where it's like that cartoon of just a mad egg screaming?
Yeah.
That's what he looks like to me.
Near the end, y'all, basically, Shida tells Liz, you have to teach people how to treat you. And that I was like, Shida, follow that advice.
follow your advice.
And y'all, anyway.
Y'all, he was on the dating app 2 hours ago. 2 hours ago.
She brings receipts and he says, nope, that's not me. That's not me. And
prove it like, was we'll me. Get the... Prove it.
And y'all, that's not what you say when you're 100% transparent and honest. You don't say you can't prove it. It's not what you say. You say, and he's like, and she's like, I'll get the laptop. And that's what we're
again,
left with, y'all.
I hated watching him. I don't because it's. But again. Y'all, if 1% of you relates to that storyline, you're in a bad relationship.
Yeah.
Please,
that's
please
true.
Leave. We love, if you don't love yourself enough to do that, Jake and I love you enough. Leave, please.
Take that and leave totally.
Or as Kimberly would say, please. Please leave.
Peace, yo. Please.
Please, yo. Please leave. Respect yourself before you wreck yourself. Please.
Leave. Please. Please leave. Please.
Yo, that's it for this. We're going to move on to Bilal and Jenny and Bilal and Shida and Jenny and Sumit in part two. And we will talk about the infamous edging store.
Oh. All right, everybody. Until then, be sure to click on our, follow us on social media, on Reality Gaze Podcast on Instagram. That's where you'll get that Linktree link. I think it's on TikTok too
link
as well.
Linktree link, yes.
Our Linktree, where you will get on Monday, starting on January, whatever that, on Monday that it airs, that link should be live so you can get a ticket to our digital worldwide moment with Mary yes. Payne from Pink Jade. We're very excited. So you can get that information then. There will be an early pre-sale. It will be cheaper to buy it earlier than after a certain time period. So
yes.
You don't want to wait on that. All right, everybody. We call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places, Poodle?
Yes. And if you've just been hotboxed by your cat shitting in your room, you can call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.